Now, Small Biz Talks with Evolve 7 Digital, a podcast focusing on all things digital and social media to help grow small and medium business. Let's kick it off with host and partners, Andy Watley and Rudy Arocha.
We talked a little bit about what our topic would be today, and we decided that it would probably be fun to discuss kind of a deeper dive into creative development and as it relates to advertising and marketing. And one of the things that occurs to me when I think about creative is I think about the Super Bowl. You know, we see commercials on the Super Bowl that actually are, they're epic. I mean, they're major productions. They cost a fortune. They are some of the best commercials ever. Some people watch the Super Bowl just to see the commercials. But it makes me wonder about something. And that is, when you speak of creative, are you also speaking about effective at the same time? Is creative good if it makes you laugh, if it doesn't sell a product or a service? And it always hits me that sometimes I watch these great Super Bowl spots. After it's over, I can't tell you what they were advertising.
For sure.
Didn't make me want to buy it. So we're pretty happy today to have, of course, Rudy Arocha, partner at Evolve 7, and also creative guru, Philip Gabbard.
Who?
So welcome, Philip and Rudy.
Thanks a lot.
I'd like you guys to kind of kick into that conversation a little bit, because I think a lot of people think about that, about like Super Bowl is the classic example.
Sure.
Great creative, but what if it doesn't sell the product, or does it?
Yeah. So for me to jump in, you know, when I think about Super Bowl, I mean, there's so many awesome creative spots that go through at any given time. But I mean, behind the scenes, there's a huge team of agencies and creative partners that are really building this out. That type of creative doesn't come overnight, in my opinion. I mean, it's a really crafted idea that a lot of people have to collaborate on to get it to be that way. And for the average, you know, small, medium-sized business, they might not have a, you know, creative agency or a marketing director to really come up with that creative. But I think there's really several different forms of which you can be creative. If you're, you know, a small business, medium-sized business, and you don't have a creative agency partner, it's really going to be about what is it that you do. And if you own your own business, I mean, even if you're a plumber, in my opinion, you already created that business. I think there is a way for you to figure out what it is that you do and expose it to a wider audience. And you can be creative about it. It just has to be kind of authentic. You know what I mean? That's kind of my perception of how you can be creative when it comes to anything in life. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, Phil, before you answer that, could you take it down the direction of creative versus effective, or both? And can it be one without being the other? And is that
So let me directly say, when we've of the best things that Super Bowl advertising has done is it's taking advertising into a mainstream conversation about like, dislike, or effective or ineffective. The creative process to get there, you know, just to keep in mind, there's millions of businesses that need to advertise. And on Super Bowl Sunday, we probably see 20 or 30 ads who have spent a lot of money and time to really curate and develop, you know, something that they hope is going to have, you know, splash impression on one of those days that, you know, it Super Bowl advertising is a really efficient form of advertising because you have so many eyeballs on the screen, and it's become somewhat of a phenomenon to watch and feel and participate with, you know, the fun about Super Bowl. So they're fantastic, but not many of us, you know, put $1 million into ad creation or spend $10 million on an ad anymore. But I want to talk about effectiveness, because there are those advertisers who have been able to use the Super Bowl in this example as kind of this capstone or this pinnacle experience to share their brand that everybody might be well aware of, like a Budweiser or Doritos. And on Super Bowl Sunday, we've got a really fun and funny and memorable ad. And then there's a lot of new products that have launched that some fail and some do well. GoDaddy was one of them that did well with Super Bowl advertising, and it really kind of changed the course of that enterprise. But I think, just to back this down to our audience today, we don't need to make Super Bowl ads. We need to make effective ads and multiple ads in ways that matter to our audience. And so a Super Bowl ad is playing for the masses. And in what we do, and especially in digital and the more competitive digital video spaces, we need to make ads that connect with a micro audience. And I think if I can bring up for conversation is one thing that I continuously see as a mistake is that somebody makes one ad, one Super Bowl ad, one, you know, kind of treatment, and they intend to run that everywhere. And for me in my creative process, I'm thinking about not only what, you know, message I need to have said to satisfy, you know, kind of the client's initiatives and core messaging, if you will, I've got to figure out how many different ways I can say that to somebody that it is memorable, because in a digital banner space or a digital video space, I've got eyeballs that are really going to see this ad once. Yeah. Now, I might have thousands of people over time, you know, with gaining impressions in that. But let's say I've got a well-crafted digital video that I'm going to place out on YouTube or some other OTT product. And I use this analogy that I think we can all kind of relate to. My wife, you know, shoves her phone in my face saying, oh, you need to see this video. It's really cute. And I always go, look at it and glance back and go, no, I've already saw it. I will not give it another 3 seconds of my time. And I think most people experience media this way. Like, I've seen that ad.
You brought up a good point, Phil. You're not going to give them another 3 seconds with today's generation of just, you know, looking at content, looking at stuff online, even TV. How hard is it now to keep that creative fresh and to get someone's attention? Because what we found is there are different formats that will resonate more with people when it comes to creative, but there's definitely that challenge because, you know, making a 30 second ad nowadays, I mean, it still works. I mean, even if you make a video 10 minutes, it might work. Cause I just watched the other day, some review videos on YouTube, and I'll stay if I'm very interested in it. But in your opinion, what do you think is real important when it comes to keeping people's attention nowadays in this digital age?
Boy, when I figure this out, I'm going to write a book about that and retire early. Another book. The idea, Rudy, that you're bringing up is what is effective. So a lot of times your advertising fails because it's not the audience. Mm-hmm. It's not the treatment. It's the energy and money and the opportunities to have a multitude of treatments out in the world long enough to break through. So more times than not, I've experienced people who take their ads and spread them too thin, or they're not backed with enough money. And let's be real, you know, the great social media experiment and the great, you know, these great results that were experienced 5 and 10 years ago on Facebook, let's use for example. Customers are coming back and like, we're killing it on Facebook and we're killing it everywhere. And if so, then why didn't their money follow? So it was like this get rich quick idea. And now that Facebook has grown up and its cost per points and cost per thousands rather are getting, you know, we're getting to this point of saturation, and you get to this point of media burn, you know, like I'm getting images and pop-up messaging and I'm getting tracked, and all of these elements has kind of made our job even more difficult to find the creative ways. And I deal with this, you know, we've had experience with, you know, car dealers who prefer banner ads over video. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because video is complicated and costs more money.
It's not that easy to pull off.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the whole notion of frequency versus really, really effective creative? And how important is that frequency when it relates to creative? Because it seems to me that if you develop really unique creative and it's really standout, that there's going to be a sensitivity to over repetition
I agree. And I think of the frequency, you know, when I first started in media, it was all about reach and frequency, you know, reach and frequency, you know, and it's like, oh, it takes three impressions. According to who, you know,
4.2.
Oh, it's 4.2 impressions. I screwed up. I don't, you know, so this reach idea, I think you've got to have great message, but you have to have a series, multitudes of great messages over and over and over time, period. There's no other way to do it. You have to have, you know, the one thing we get in the digital space, and you guys certainly help us like immensely, is that we get to test what, you know, these A-B ideas, but I think now in our relationship, we're on A, B, C, D, and E, and F, and X, Y, Z. So we've got a lot of treatments in play. And the reason why I insist on having a multitude of treatments created is because I intend to have frequency. I just am not frequently going to say something that goes and starts to bore and annoy people.
So you bring up a good point, Phil, about having multiple treatments, which is basically multiple versions of creative at any given time. Can we talk about, you know, some practical advice on how businesses can, you know, start a creative process, can have multiple creative ideas? I mean, where do you even start,
Phil? Hire Evolve 7.
Yeah, besides
hire Evolve 7.
Yeah. But what should businesses be thinking about before they say, hey, you know what? You know, sales are stagnant. We haven't done anything different in a while. I want to run a new campaign.
You said the million-dollar phrase there.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything different in a while because most car dealers behave like other car dealers. Most banks behave like other banks. Most, you know, retailers behave like other retailers. So when you see and hear this stuff, it deadens the mood. They're mood killers. Those advertisements, you know, those advertisements show up and they don't stand out. And so to initiate a creative process, you know, my first kind of rule of thumb is one, we have to think different to get a different result. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in the mode of, hey, it's Black Friday or it's, you know, this super sale event again, it's trite. It's trivial in the mind. It doesn't stand out. And I think, you know, we have to say things differently to evoke a different feeling and to produce a different result. Test it, test it, test it. But obviously enjoyable creative is what the Super Bowl was really about. It's just like, and here's when you're starting to see people really trying to get their creative juices flowing. And I would encourage a local business to do the same, as have a multitude of ideas and play them all out, a lot of them. And I'm not talking about one, two, or three. I'm talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them a month.
Sure. It seems like that's a notion of connecting ads along a storyline. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get the opportunity to leverage storytelling as a powerful marketing mechanism, as opposed to just bang, bang, bang in your face.
Yeah, when you think about it, a lot of people want to say, you know, we're about new Jettas or new, you know, sneakers or new smoothies. And the storytelling is probably the more captivating way to, you know, to elongate a message over time, because I think we used to say in sales, you know, if you've run out of, you know, spots to sell or stations to sell, you know, you have nothing to sell, but you'll never run out of ideas. We need to be idea factories. So storytelling is probably the most, you know, effective way. And it takes a creative writer, a thinker, to evoke multiple stories over time. We can tell a lot of them.
Yeah. I agree on that. And going back to storytelling, I mean, you know, not every business might have the opportunity to, you know, have a great storyteller on board. But, you know, I think if they tell their story, you know, their story is definitely unique to any other business that's out there. And if they do it in an authentic way, and if they keep at it, I think they can get creative with it. An example of this is, you know, I was talking to a lawyer client the other day, and he's recently doing a big YouTube video series, you know, just putting out a lot of content. And he asked me, he's like, you know, how long should I make these videos? What type of stuff should I put on there? And I just told him, you know what? I think, don't think about how long this video is going to be. If you're doing a message on, you know, what happens when you get a DWI or, you know, yada, 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 whatever, just give the message that you're wanting to give, but give it in an authentic way. If it comes off to being, you know, 2 minutes, but you hit the points right, I mean, that soundbite could be perfect for Facebook, Instagram, for anywhere that he's putting it. But if it even goes to, you know, 8 minutes and it's intriguing content, you know, the people that are going to watch his video and get engaged with it, they'll get engaged the entire way if it's engaging content. So my big belief is when it comes to any type of creative process, don't try to be something that you're not. Right. Make it authentic. You know, if you're a restaurant and, you know, you have the best pizza or whatever, you know, throw some pictures of your pizza, you know, do some videos with your pizza. I mean, whatever.
There's a lot to do. And what you're getting at, Rudy, is that, you know, we hear these worn out phrases said over, you know, since 1952 and, you know, these catchphrases and, you know, my closing, you know, tagline. Sometimes they're effective, and sometimes they just, you know, annoy the heck out of people. And I just to kind of put it into people's minds, I think people like Geico and a lot of the insurance companies have done a really good job of creating multiple, you know, campaigns that are stacked on top of each other with many different messages. Geico has a lizard and cavemen and cartoons and, sure, you know, you know, the common denominator is, you know, in that example is 15 minutes will save you 15%. It always comes back to the message. Motel 6 always left the light on for you and never, ever left an ad go off air without saying that phrase. And that was, you know, a really positive echoic reminder. And it made us feel good. So those things are important, but storytelling, remember, I've used a lot of radio. I came out of the radio industry. A lot of people get on in front of a microphone and talk like they're talking to a stadium full of people, but they forget that the medium is not a shared medium. It's a personal medium, meaning there's not a room full of people listening to your ad. And we don't talk to people this way.
Sure.
You know, when I talk to, you know, so media and how we write and how we, you know, collectively put these ideas and thoughts together are one-on-one conversation. So, you know, if I stood in front of you, Rudy, and went, "Hey, Rudy, I want you to come over to my place tonight and we're going to barbecue," you'd like stay away from me.
What are you high on? That would have tripped me out.
We just don't talk this way.
Like,
So we don't talk this way in our personal relationships. Why do we suddenly change, you know, when a camera's in our face and a microphone's in our face, start talking like we're talking to legions of people?
Exactly.
And we don't need to. It's unnecessary.
Hey guys, so some great thoughts here today. I really do appreciate this short visit here. I'd like to pick up this conversation and do this again, because I think there's a lot deeper that we can go and really provide some valuable information to those people listening to this. So appreciate it, Philip Gabbard, creative guru at large, and also Rudy Arocha, partner at Evolve 7.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
Thank you guys. Pleasure.
Thanks, Rudy.
Thanks, Rudy and Andy. This is Small Business Talks with Evolve 7 Digital. If you're still listening now, you likely enjoyed the podcast at some level. If so, please share with a business person you know. If you didn't like the show so much, have mercy. Please keep that to yourself. You can find all the details on subscribing, downloading, and listening to this and other podcasts at evolve7.com. Questions to Small Biz Talks at evolve7.com. Just to ensure you do not forget our name, this is Small Business Talks with Evolve 7. Easy to remember, huh?